jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, the good news this morning is Russ Dizdar is alive and well. Thank God you're okay, Russ, or at least getting better. Honored that you would join us. I know that you're a tenacious warrior. So if you've been down that long, brother, I know that you've been fighting something. You got a big smile on your face today.
It's been an ordeal, but listen, we're slow, but we're here, and everything else is good. Just for my knees and down, give me some new legs. That's all I wanted. In December was new legs. So. But I know the Lord's going to do that. I believe God gave me Psalm 30, and I believe I'm barely walking still, but I'm here, and I'm doing radio, and God's power is made perfect in weakness.
Amen, brother. So we've been praying for you, and we've been missing you, and we didn't want to put any strain on you, Russ. And folks, I just want you to know that Russ is the real deal, because every week he would say, Coach, I can do it this week. I can do it this week. And the last thing I wanted is for him to be back in bed any time, because we need him. I know he's got a busy schedule and a lot he needs to do, so we wanted him to be rested up. Listen, folks, before we get Russ really digging into this stuff, I can't tell you the number of people I came in contact with through Facebook, a lot of different things, that watched the halftime show of Lady Gaga and just said glowing things about it. And, you know, the scriptures tell us that Satan comes as an angel of light. So Lady Gaga, she disarmed everybody when the first thing she started to do the other night at halftime was sing God Bless America. And from that point on, she went into This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land. And we were all hooked. Oh, what a beautiful, she's honoring God. And so we didn't ask which God, did we? Didn't ask which God. See, that name God, that didn't mean a whole lot. There's a lot of gods. He said he'd have no other gods before him. So Lucifer could be a god. Do you understand that, folks? You understand it? And you understand how they lured us into the celebration of Satan right in front of us. And if you watched the show yesterday, we kind of opened that up. But I want to show you something here. I don't know this for 100%. I saw this online. Lady Gaga, during that performance, sang a song called I Love Judas. Now, we know who Judas is, right? Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus, right? So I'm going to play a little bit of this, and I want you to follow the words that Lady Gaga sang in front of the whole world the other night. And the only ones who knew it were Lady Gaga fans. We just thought, oh, what a beautiful song. And she sang God Bless America, and This Land Is Your Land. Oh, what a great show. So we're not going to play this whole thing, Jared, but I want people to see what it is that she was singing about. Go ahead, Jared.
Oh,
can cut it off, Jared. So you get the idea, right? God bless America, huh? God bless America. Unbelievable what Lady Gaga was singing to the world the other night. As people watched it and said, oh, hey Russ, by the way, dare I use these words, showing her crotch the whole time that she's doing it. And I read on Facebook people saying, oh, what a nice show it was. And I'm thinking, have we really fallen that far that some lady can get on there and expose her crotch to national TV and we think it's a good show? If Christians, really? Have we become that calloused? And Russ, what I'd really like you to kind of, just to start off, first of all, thanks, man. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're healthy, getting healthy. The subliminal message, Russ, because the average person, me included, if I wasn't aware of what was going on, what Lady Gaga was all about, I could have been sucked in. I could have been sucked in by the show. Talk to us, Russ, about the subliminal messages and the impact that they have on the average viewer.
Well, that is the very core of who Satan is. That is the very thing. There's a word in the Greek, metaskismazotai. It's a biblical Greek word where Satan is masquerading as an angel of light. He masquerades. So it's not, we should understand that when there's a presentation, when Satan, when that dark side's coming through, there's a massive masquerade. In the garden, he came as a shining one. Even Eve, she was, what she saw, her eyes were all of a sudden, she was pleased. It affected her emotionally. So she didn't see blood and guts Satan. She didn't see, a monstrous devil. She saw a shining one, someone that dazzled her. So in the industry that we have, this music industry, with the supernatural behind it, with the dark side behind it, it's not surprising that you have this dazzling, this incredibly dazzling picture. And I think that one thing that I have not heard about, and again, unfortunately, I saw her on American Horror Story. I don't know if you've ever seen that at all on television.
No, I haven't.
American Horror Story, when she played, you're talking someone who is drinking blood in the most, obvious, not just hedonistic, even pornographic, but satanic, blood, sexual type ritual she was in. So it's a wonder how she could play that and then come out so. Part of it is I think she tried to comply with, they wanted her to come out and look like, nice and good and no clothing coming off and that kind of stuff. But once again, look at the words. Look at
Russ, I think it was, pardon me a second, I think it was a classic bait and switch. And by that I mean this. They told us all week that she was going to come out and she was going to go against Trump and she was going to stand up against the deplorables. And so everybody's waiting to see how she's going to do this, come out against Trump. And she did the bait and switch and went strictly to a demonic service right there in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Well, and you can see the words that was done. You can see you can see that. That's what draws. I mean, it's the outward. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And so there's the draw. So there is a draw in what she was doing in the sense that she tried to look like it was cleaned up, tried to sound like it was, but look at the words that you just put up. I mean, if this is a song where she is embracing Judas, that's the betrayer of Christ, the ultimate betrayer.
She calls him a king who doesn't have a crown, right?
As if he needs a crown, or if he's like the one that should have a crown, right? Exactly.
Russ, she said in there, it was amazing that she was going to wash his feet with her hair. Did you see that? That's clearly a mocking of what was done to Jesus, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, well, it is. It's a big switch. I mean, she's acknowledging, she's going to him as a savior, as God. He's the one that should be exalted. So, yeah, I mean, those are the words. I mean, she can't deny the words. She can't deny the song. Let alone.
So Russ, how, from a purely innocent standpoint, you think of the, not only the Lady Gaga fans that may be watching it, but in the churches all across America, people that are watching this, I don't know if you've seen the breakdown of the pentagrams and the descending into hell and the fire and all that stuff. And if you haven't seen that, you need to take a look at it, and so we can all understand it a little bit better. But what's the subliminal message, Russ? Why would these Satanists? Let me back up a second. I said last week, Russ, that we're watching the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl the fans like me and you, old fat guys, right? I mean, that's who's watching the NFL, old fat guys like us. Why would they give us Beyonce and Lady Gaga and Katy Perry? Why would they have their entertainment totally focused on the young people in particular, but this demonic message? What is the subliminal impact of something like that, Russ?
Well, it's influence. I mean, ultimately, it's influence. Ultimately, it's a drawing in. I mean, that's what it is when it comes to cults, when it really comes to demons drawing people in. It's always a masquerade first. That's how it was in the garden. He's masqueraded. He's the shining one. He looks good. He sounds good. His words are mixed. His words are confusing. So it's a wordplay, and it's a masquerade. Those are the two characteristics in Genesis 3. Wordplay, masquerade, that's to draw in, to draw them into to the lie. So there's no question that those who know her knows what she was speaking about. I mean, they knew what she was talking about. For the rest, it's confusing. Now, just drop back a little bit. Remember the guy named Sammy Davis Jr.?
Sure.
A Satanist. On his pinky finger, he had a pentagram. But most people didn't know that. Look how he's saying with the Rat Pack. Look how he was movies. Look at all of his life. Yet he was an actual member of the Church of Satan in California. Hmm. And his pinky finger, he had, most people didn't realize this, he had a painted pentagram, inverted, on that pinky thing. So that's why looking at any stars, any kind of movies, whoever they might be, listen, this God is up front. God's up front with truth. God's up front with who Christ is. You don't have to guess who Jesus is. You don't have to guess what the message is. When it comes to the other side, there is a morphing of presentation and a mixing of words. That's right. Where the deception is. That's where the draw is. And that's exactly what occurred.
Russ?
Yes.
I think we're missing a little bit. I think there was a lot of damage on the show, but I think the damage is she did exactly what she needed to do to draw her to the people after the show. It was, you know, I don't think we realize the millions that have now gone to her website, downloaded music.
In fact, they said she's had a popularity spike already. I just saw that this morning on the internet.
I read it. The
shows presented, even though it was subtle, the real pull in is these people who now, I'm going to go check her out. And yeah. Now they go check her out, and now they're really pulled in.
Sure. And I read yesterday evening that the sales the next day and the next, you know, now has gone up, not 100%, 1,000%. So you're talking millions upon millions. And then when they get to the rest of her songs, they get to the rest of her videos. And now, again, I'm not going to go to the rest of her videos, but you're going to see blood and guts. You're going to see more dark stuff. You're going to see more explicitly ritualistic sexual hedonism. That's what you're going to see.
And Russ, let me see if you can help make a connection here for us, Russ, because two things that I've really learned over the last couple days since this. Number one, America's pastors have no idea what's going on. I mean, they don't have any idea what's going on. And number two, Russ, what we laugh about the Illuminati, we laugh about the Masons, we laugh about all of that kind of stuff. Russ, there must be powerful forces at work that could get Lady Gaga this gig at the biggest event in American in the year of the year in America. She is the highlighting. Not Toby Keith. Not, I mean, we can name 100. Russ, this Illuminati, this Church of Satan, this Masonic thing, this is real, isn't it, bud?
Well, it is. You got to realize that again, the method of Satan is not the method of Jesus. God comes revealing his message, revealing truth. God comes in human flesh and comes right into our face. God wants to make himself known, wants to make himself plain. He speaks what he is what he speaks. It's the opposite on the other side. So, listen, I have been 35 years with teams digging down to the underground, going and dealing with satanic ritual abuse individuals, the real underground. I mean, really going after it. I mean, So I'm going to say again, there's a light level up here that looks like it can present itself. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. His ministers can be like agents of righteousness. So that's part of the method, to look presentable, to look, but it's all about the draw. That's why there has to be spiritual discernment, and then looking and examining the words, looking and examining the life. The New Age movement worldwide, 1 billion people involved in the New Age movement. Reiki healing, stones, energies, spirit guides, channeling, spirit guides that are nice guys and ascended masters. That has seduced over 1 billion individuals. The evidence of the spirit of Antichrist is to deny the deity of Christ and replace it with a fake, dumbed-down Jesus or another story. So that's evident in the world that we live in. So the blood and guts underground that I have seen, the occult crimes, the network that I believe is out there, and I'm going to say this, we've only looked into 20% of it. Here's what I'm going to say, 80% of the real underground is supernaturally protected and operative. I believe that the underground is far more connected, far more sophisticated, far more prepared than anybody knows. That's the biblical picture, too. So there's a secret power of lawlessness, or it's called the mystery of iniquity, the Greek word mysterium, the hidden system. And so the
it's already at work, it says in Thessalonians.
Right. Right. So she's just a player. Now, 100 million or more worldwide. It wasn't just America. It was a worldwide presentation. So you got worldwide this is being presented. So again, the idea is, masquerade, morph the presentation to draw the folks ultimately into the goal of, like he said, to bait and to switch. Isn't that what happened in the garden?
Amen.
The switch.
Hey, so, I'd like to draw a biblical reference to that bait and switch thing. Do you think that might be one reason why Jesus taught us to pray our Father and then identify which Father we're praying to, which art in heaven? Because if you don't include that, then there are not only Satan back there, Satan can hear our words, but if you don't include that who art in heaven part, those around may think you're praying to their Father. And their father may be the ones that Jesus talked to and says, you are of your father Satan.
So, Larry, we also know, I didn't mean to step on you there, Larry, I'm sorry. We also know that in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment says, I am the Lord thy God, I shall have no other gods before me, which tells us what? There must be other gods, right? Now, not the Almighty God, not the Jehovah, not that God, but there are other gods. That's what we're seeing, isn't it, Russ?
That's exactly what we're seeing. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, that our struggle as believers, they are against us. When we read Ephesians 6, we're talking about principalities and powers in the heavenlies on the global scale that are operative. Revelation chapter 12, Satan is... are here to, and again, you're right about the leadership in the body of Christ. We don't understand the enemy's agenda. And the agenda, because I can give you 1,000 books on doctrine and systematic theology from down in my library, okay, over the years, the theologians. They can name Satan in his fall, and he's a liar, and some of his methods. But the huge miss is the agenda. Revelation 12 says that he's after assimilating the whole world. We do not understand he's beyond military, he's beyond governments, he's beyond China and the South Sea, he's beyond Russia and Ukraine. This is a bigger foe who wants to assimilate the entire world. Until we understand our mission in context of another aggressive mission in the world, we're just going to keep being, we're going to be light years behind.
Well, first of all, Russ, we're messed up in America because we think that the eternal battle is just what's going on here in America. Republican against Democrat and the war on Christianity and the war on free speech. And we see this just a real tiny little fight that we're fighting right here in the good old U.S. of A. When in fact, this battle is for world dominion, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, an eternal struggle for this world, not just what's going on in America. And because of the Christianity that's being taught in our churches, that box becomes even smaller, because now the battle is just for your finances and your health, and we've just minimized it down and have lost a bigger picture of exactly what's going on.
Hey, Coach, can I jump in real quick? Technical. Yeah.
Hang on a second. Russ got a technical issue here.
Russ, can you push F5 on your computer?
Because you're breaking up a little bit on us, Russ. That's at the top there.
Well, I'm having him rejoin. Hopefully he comes right back. And now, can you answer the question?
Yeah, now we got you.
How are we good? Yeah, we do deal with personal stuff. The idea that in our own personal lives we have issues to deal with. And that's true. We have spiritual warfare. I understand that. But we don't. That's the limited focus we have.
So I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it's a very small part of the problem.
It is. And because in the biblical picture, the prophecy picture that God gives us in a huge way, Satan's after the political leadership, he's after the military leadership, he's after the wealthy elite. In the future, the entire satanic New World Order is going to be the elite of the elite, political, military, and the financial. And that's how that's going to occur. That's why it's going to be a shock in all of the world. That's why God gave us the insight 2,700 years ago in the book of Daniel. This fierce global kingdom will be thundering and ripping and tearing down and coming in. And a little horn, they talk about the Antichrist. So it is going to be a shock. It's, and Jesus said, unprecedented, unlike anything else in human history. So And here's what I've been telling a lot of individuals. I'm going to do this in Dallas, too. When it comes to the intelligence agencies, like the NSA, CIA, and all of the world's intelligence agencies that are doing threat analysis on a global scale, they don't have – every officer, police officer, does threat analysis. When they drive down the street and look down an alley, they're looking for the threats. Biblically speaking, we've been given the content to light up our eyes – to be prepared, to be able to speak a clear word to the world that we live in of the real threat. The real threat in the world that we're living in. The threat for nations. The threat for cultures. Yeah, you mentioned earlier. Yeah, we see the cultural war. All that is the top layer of a thick darkness that's operating. If that's all we look at, then we're not seeing it all. We need to go back and get biblically lit eyes, and a lot of that will come through biblical prophecy, which a huge part of biblical prophecy is unveiling the agenda, the dark side agenda, to suck in. Now, for me, a Christian, it alarms me. The Bible tells me Satan is out to suck in hundreds of millions to the point of billions. That he has this massive global scale and this massive draw, I mean, on a global scale. We cannot treat Satan as a light level entity. We can just sit back and just kind of glibly say, well, Jesus defeated him at the cross. Absolutely right. And the ultimate defeat is Revelation 20 or Revelation 19 when Christ returns. Until then, Satan in the world will have the biggest heyday. That's why the world's going to have this massive collapse. New World Order, hundreds of millions will die, and prior to those events, the deception, whether it's in the music industry, whether it's in the TV and in Hollywood industry, you and I, we've been told biblically, dark spirits will be here in the world bringing deception as never before in human history.
Russ, what is it, in your opinion, what is it that has caused the church, I use that in quotes, to so miss it, to so miss the broader picture of what's going on?
Sure, and in a broad way, I'm going to say this. With the rise of the satanic side means the presence. There's no way they can advance without having Like, we can't advance the cause of Christ without prayer and extending the kingdom and doing the mission. They can't advance their side without the same type of thing. So here's what I've been telling everybody that we've found out. In the last 20 years or so, maybe 30, in the United States, I'm going to say with every ounce of my being, I'm very sure, 500 million satanic rituals have been done consistently.
Wow. Say that again, Russ. 500 million, like church services, satanic church services.
Right. If anybody looks at the satanic ritual abuse calendar, and you begin to look over, hey, what's going on? Just a week ago, February 2nd, 3rd, we have satanic vandal mass, and then we have satanic ritual. It's called satanic revels. So every one of those rituals you see in the satanic calendar now on a whole year, we've got to understand now, like World Purge is going to come up here, April 30th and so forth, right when we're doing the conference in Dallas. That means that in the United States and on a worldwide basis, anyone involved in the underground, satanic ritual abuse, satanic churches, but also the Haitian satanic stuff like Santeria, Paulo Maombi, the saint of death in Mexico, the saint of death, 12 million followers of a skeleton dressed with a bride's gown, with a bride's dress. I don't know if you ever seen it, but there's 12 million followers, okay? So you're talking that now, I've been on the field 39 years, last 35 years in deliverance issues and going to research this stuff. So here's what I'm saying. There are more practitioners by the hundreds of millions worldwide than there were 30 years ago. And every practitioner knows how to summon spirits, do a spell, conjure a demon, summon. And the Luciferians, they know how to summon demons and send them.
They're doing their ministry, aren't they, Russ?
Every week they're doing it 2 to 3 times a week in rituals, small ones and then larger ones. They're doing it. They're doing it constantly. We have seen that. We've engaged that. We've been there again and again and again, and that's what we do a lot of exposing. But that's why biblical prophecy showing the satanic surge is directly correlated to the actual practice of practitioners and demons summoned and demons released. So in the United States in 30 years, if there's more practitioners summoning demons, releasing them, and I'm going to get, we've done this. We've been to 90 cities. Every single city in the United States has those who know how to do the old rituals, the darkest of rituals. Even in every single city, there's a Masonic lodge that has the old, all the way back to sewer, the kinds of rituals. So in the United States, you've got, even publicly, you've got ritual stuff going on. You got masqueraded ritualistic stuff going on in music and in Hollywood. But underground is the issue, Dave. Underground is where they don't want you to see it. They don't want you to know about it. And I'm here to say, after 30-some years of it, they're in every city. They're in every location. And week by week by week, I know there's practitioners. We've caught them. We've seen them. We've heard. We've confiscated their books of shadows. We've looked at their ritual stuff, summoning, sending demons against churches, summoning, sending demons up in the air over a city. They call it air superiority. They want a city to have the air dirty. We call it oppressive. They call it dirtying the air. So as they're rising and the church is being suppressed, the church is allowing itself to go down and quench the Spirit of God. Well, look who has the precedence. We're not standing in the power of God. How many churches, when they gather on Sunday, will do Acts chapter 4, raise their voices in prayer, and unleash intercessory prayer and warfare prayer for 30 minutes? What church do you have? The average is 12 seconds.
And it's just a meaningless prayer, isn't it?
Well, I mean, bless the church, bless the offering, bless us as we do. That's the primary. When the church is promised, look at, again, Acts chapter 4, when they raised their voices. Look how the power of God struck the church, shook the building, by the way. That's the power that we should be living in. That's the power that advances the cause of Christ. When Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, he meant a church in obedience.
Yes.
clothed with power, a church that is stepping out, saving, healing, delivering. And when power encounters come, and they will, like Bar-Jesus in the book of Acts, when they step up to come against us and a real believer steps up, God does, in every case, he blasts apart the dark side, brings it down, demonstrates in power his kingdom, and Jesus is glorified. That's if we're not living that, and if we go to Sunday morning church and it's powerless, it's it's abnormal. If we can go and see a 55-minute service, 12 minutes or 12 seconds of prayer, and we go out the door, and if we've done everything to try to make it look good, and we forget what even the sermon was by the time we get to our car, anybody can answer the question. Was it powerful? Was the Spirit of God there in power? Did we see prayers answered right in the service? Was there a supernatural sense of the immediacy of the presence of God? If not, we're abnormal. If not, we're quenching the Spirit of God.
We're just playing church. Listen, I want to open it up to somebody who might have a question. I want you to think about this a minute. I just pulled up over here on my computer a map of Licking County, Ohio. That's where I live, Licking County, in the Newark, Ohio area. And Russ, there, if I count right, there are 22 different townships in Licking County, Ohio. And some of these, you know, I live out in the country, so as you drive into some of these little burgs, you know how it is. There isn't anybody there. There's a crossroads, maybe a gas station, but nothing. And you know what, Russ? There's a daggone Masonic temple in every one of those little counties. We may laugh about it, you know, just some little thing over here on the corner, just a little building over on the corner, but there's one in every one of our townships here in Licking County. So I'm sure it's like that all across Ohio and all across the nation. They have established their foothold, and again, it doesn't matter whether we believe it's real. It's real to them.
There's no question. Here's the interesting thing. There are 56,000 Masonic temples in the United States. They're in every city, every township, as you mentioned, by design. Have you ever been inside one? Have you ever seen anybody go inside? Inside, some of the most ancient ritual chamber, ritual materials, Egyptian, Sumerian, all the way back. You got to understand, a Masonic temple carries a place of power. And the secrecy is evidence of the mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians 2. That secret power of Moses. And so by design, they're there. So I can tell you about, you know, Masonic temples. They're Luciferian. They reject the deity of Christ. Of course, they want to look good when they try to recruit. They want to bring in and look harmless. But it's Luciferian from beginning to end. The denial of the authority of the Word of God, the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ, the denial of direct salvation to God through Christ. That's Masonic temple, and they're visible. But here's what I'm going to tell you. In every single one of the same cities, behind the scenes are what you see in Ezekiel chapter 8. Real blood and guts, the old-style summoners of demons, receivers of demons, releasers of the demonic. They're in the United States, in every city, every township. And Dave, here's what I'm going to tell you. We have some of our team down in your area. They've been down in your area four or five times this you know, last month. They were there just the other night. They've uncovered a larger satanic ring in the Newark, greater Newark.
Russ, let me know now. I'd love to piggyback on one of those journeys. I'd love to be able to do it, man.
I think we're going to have. I think because one of the staff members went down just the other day. They met with the church down there, people that want to get involved. And so I think we're going to have kind of a bigger public meeting. They want us to do something. I think that it needs to be known, because we're dealing with victims that are taking some of our staff members to places where kids are get held, where rituals are done. They're pointing, you know, all these places out. And the bottom line is, satanic rituals are done. In every one of those counties, you said, they're done in every single one. And it's by design, Dave. That's how the underworld works. And that's why there's a sense of darkness over the cities. And if the church is suppressed, number one, we've allowed that. It doesn't have to be. You know, we could be like Daniel in the book of Daniel. He wasn't in any way adulterated. He didn't give in to anything. They tried to change his name, change his clothes, change his food. They tried to make him a Babylonian, but he was absolutely pure in his walk with God. He did not give in. And that's evident in chapter 1, where he was fixed in his love for God. And then it tells us, even when they tried to train him for 3 years, it came out, he was 10 times better than the sorcerers. We should be 10 times better than what the dark side is actually doing.
Yeah, but not if we don't know what's going on. Hey, Jared, we're having that issue with his audio again. Does he need to hit that F5 again?
Yeah, Russ, just reconnect. I'll just come up with a longer-term solution at some point, but for now, that'll
okay. work. So when Russ comes back, I'd like for the rest of you to jump in there and have a question for him. Yeah, sorry to keep doing that to you, Russ. I don't know whether it's on your end or whatever, but for some, you get garbled. It's like you're in a tunnel, and then and you're saying so much good stuff, hey, we don't want to miss it. Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Why are we, and I'm reading in Acts about, why are we not seeing miracles publicly?
Russ?
Well, I'm going to say that I believe, once again, that we have abdicated what we are. If the church on a Sunday morning has 12 seconds of prayer that deals with bless the church, bless the offering, and bless us as we leave, why would we expect? You have not because we ask not. Jesus said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. In Luke's gospel, he goes on to say, everybody that asks will receive. Everybody that seeks will find. Everybody that knocks. So, if the church on Sunday shifted, number one, acknowledge the immediacy of the living presence of Christ. When two or three gather together, there I am in the midst. He's here. So open up in worship in the presence of God by the power of the Spirit of God. Then move into intercession. Lead the church into at least one half hour of Holy Spirit-empowered intercession for the city, intercession for the lost. We are sinning. We are missing what we've been commanded in Timothy chapter 2. First of all, urgency. You know, we're to pray. This pleases a God who wills all men to be saved. So we're not doing anything that we're supposed to be doing. And so we can't expect that. The truth is, we're gathering grievers. We're gathering grievers. We're grieving the Spirit. That's through neglect, sin, fleshly stuff. We're quenching, putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, by our unwillingness to be witnesses, to be prayer warriors. If we want power, we've got to do the conditions of power. The surrender, the yieldedness. You know, the norm is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The norm is to pray with a conscious sense of the power of God. The norm is to get answers. That's the norm. The norm is to win souls. And if the church then won't even pray for healing, which is a horrific sin, the early church did that. They at least the elders should be anointing people. Nobody's getting healed because we go to churches. The 12 seconds of prayer, powerless words, and there's no invitations at times, and there's nobody getting directly saved, and there's no prayer for deliverance of individuals. I mean, I live in a city, 500 churches, and I can name two, maybe, that I could send people to. So we have abdicated our role, but here's the good news. Anybody that does want to live in power, anybody that does want to live clothed, anybody that does want to win souls, pray for the sick to be healed. And listen, you got to understand me. Every morning I anoint my legs with oil. I want my legs healed. I know that I'm in a providential time. I believe God for healing. I've seen healing. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of deliverances in churches, most of them outside the church. But, so you see the power of God. And guess what? The power of God in the local gathering is more exciting than lowering the lights, stained glass windows, flowers on the altar. That stuff's fine. I don't have any problem with that stuff. But if there's no power, no presence of Jesus, and if nobody's getting saved, healed, and delivered, we are abdicating. We're like Sardis. We were once alive, but we're dead. We got to understand, we're dead.
The Lord just gave me a picture of this. This is pretty amazing. Out here, I live out in the country. You understand. If you live in Ohio, you understand country, right? And when the birds are migrating in the spring, and when they're in the fall, when they're coming back, they'll gather in our trees so thick. You guys are from Ohio. You understand what I'm saying. They're just everywhere. And sometimes you step outside and you'll shoot a rifle or you'll shoot a gun, and they're all flutter and take off, and they'll be gone. But Russ, they're back in about 5 minutes. They all come back because that one shot I took at them, it might have startled them, but it didn't really do anything. It had no power to it. It had sound, full of sound and fury, but it signified nothing. And you're saying that's what our churches are doing. We're just, boom, we'll shoot a shot up there, everyone, and then the birds fly back in. And there's no effectualness. I don't even know if that's a word. The effectual, fervent prayer. There's nothing effectual about what we're doing.
That's a fantastic analogy. Fantastic analogy. Even if we do gather on Sunday and have a little bit of stuff, then we go away. You understand how huge this is. So we could be packing the city. Look at Acts chapter 8. We could see the city affected. But again, the evidence shows on a citywide basis that the church is suppressed, the church is silenced, which means spiritually it's crippled, and it's not just cultural, it is a spiritual battle. It is even our own lives. If our own lives, we have no prayer power, no sense of the presence of Jesus. I mean, listen, he's with us and in us. He never leaves. His presence is inseparable. We go to quiet time should be, hey, this is an interaction. I'm actually meeting with God. I'm actually talking to God. And the Spirit of God is here to talk to me.
In fact, Russ, the word said he is with us to deliver us. He's here specifically for a purpose, not just to be here.
Right, and to grow us and to have interaction and to love that. You know, and once we know his presence, once we know what it's like to be with him in fellowship, but that's got to be corporate too. So again, when the body of Christ gathers together, and they don't even acknowledge his immediate presence. Two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst. And if we don't even acknowledge his living personal presence to honor, we act as though God is 100 miles away, do we not?
Yeah, and, we do.
So again, so the evidence is not church buildings, not stained glass windows, because buildings I've seen over 40 years of preaching and all that, buildings have nothing to do with it. They really have nothing to do with it. I've preached in all kinds of buildings and church, big ones, huge ones, massive ones, buildings that used to be the largest in the world, like the cathedral and so forth. Preaching in all those places, that's the building is just a functional tool. But when we gather, if we're not in the presence of Jesus, if we're not interactive, if we're not listening, if there's no power in prayer, no power in the preaching, no giftings of the Spirit of God operative, then we have abdicated the ability to advance, and we have aided the enemy in his because we're the only ones who can contest. We're the only ones that can contest that. We're the only ones that can push darkness back.
Amen. Anybody want to jump in here?
I've got a quick question for Russ Dave.
Okay.
Russ, is there biblical support for the typical Sunday now where we come in, we sing, and then we listen to a sermon? Is that how church is biblically supposed to be done?
Well, I mean, we can read Ephesians 5, if we're filled with the Spirit, singing in one of their psalms, hymns. So there needs to be worship, but again, it's dumbed down. It's only...
Well, the worship is the focus of the service, Russ. It's worship and no prayer.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Even in churches that I've been to that are supposed to be really, kind of on target or whatever, I'll see that they can do 40 minutes of worship. Praise God. I love that. I'm there. But then, once again, 18 seconds of prayer. So you have to have Acts chapter 4. Look what they did. That's a model. If we go back to Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the command of the Spirit of God, first of all, then urgently, we are to do prayers and intercession and supplications. That's the call of God. It's the local church is to be known as the house of prayer. And that includes answers right in our face. In Acts chapter 4, they got answers. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for power. They didn't want to be suppressed. And God struck with power, and he shook the building. The church should be supernatural. We should experience it when we gather every time. But we don't. We suppress it. We allow that. We quench. We don't open the doors by which God will work.
Amen. Amen. Anybody for us before I dive back in?
You know, I just had a little epiphany here that, you know, after pastoring for almost 30 years, I kind of came to a conclusion that 30 years ago we had the Baker Show, we had all these mega churches coming up, that we came to watch the show. I'm going to say it again. Come and watch the pastor from the pulpit. And what happened is we now have created such a technical process where we can see the big screen at churches that people no longer are participating. And I just realized myself that I am sitting back here and not praying because someone told me, Tim, you are being judgmental because you're telling people Jesus is the only way. And I just realized that some of my power was taken away because people were saying you're judgmental because you said Jesus is the only way. And I just realized that I'm not praying through to start leading people to Christ anymore. I'm sitting back and letting the church do it. And I just decided myself, listening to the rest, I said, you know what, Russ, you're right. It's time to get on our horses, every individual, and ride. Someone has got to blow the trumpet.
Get on your horse and ride, yeah.
Amen. Well, and here's the good news. Everything Jesus promised, his presence, his power, his sign, his wonder, to advance the cause of Christ, which is what? Winning souls, thousands, thousands, seeing believers become powerful. If I look at Acts chapter 8, I see Philip, second generation younger believer. I mean, just look what he did. He cleaned the clock of Samaria. He went in with the kingdom of God, and look, he just overtook the city. One individual. Listen, we received everything by faith. We manifested in obedience. If we don't proclaim the gospel, share the gospel, if we don't allow massive intercession and prayer to go forward, if we don't pray for somebody who's sick, if we don't command the demon when we see it, if we don't pray against the dark powers, because we have the right to do that, we should, then again, we allow the other side to bring suppression, to shove us into the corner, to cripple us, to silence us. So I ask on this category for all of us, if we feel silence, or do we feel powerful and effectual and effective, are we bearing fruit consistently? Well, in the book of Acts. But the good news is, God is here, God is operative, Jesus is the same every single day. So today is the day the Lord has given, and we can yield to the power of the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, to acknowledge his unceasing presence, and the gospel is powerful. And I don't care what the world says. The world says it's dumbing down. That's what I said when I was lost. I told those guys, witness, you know, get lost. That we should expect the world to do that. Our call is to be obedient and proclaim the gospel and share. That's where the power of God strikes. That's where the conviction and draw and work of the Spirit is done. And so everything Jesus taught and everything Jesus did and everything he showed the disciples to do is all available today. And every one of us, Jesus, and I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me to do those works that I've done. And I'm saying that's real. That can be done. And it can be done when you're at Walmart. It can be done when you're on the street. It can be done in meetings held. But it should be done and should be evidenced in the gathering of the saints on a Sunday, on a weekend.
Hey, Jared, get up Deuteronomy 32 for us. Hey, Russ, hit that F5 again. For some reason, you keep your sound goes out. We want to be able to hear you clearly. Go to 30. Jared, pull up 32. Let's go to verse 25. Russ hadn't come back yet. 1, 2, 3. There he's back. Sorry, Russ. Sorry to keep doing that to you, but your sound gets muffled on us. Are you back?
He's muted.
You're muted, Russ. There you go. Are you with us, Russ? Good. Okay, Russ, listen, I just in my spirit, this came up. Deuteronomy 32, and I want to go to verse 25. And I hate to start in the middle of a, because I don't ever want to take anything out of context, but I feel the Lord wants me to make a point here. It says that the sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? In other words, Russ, no matter how many of those blackbirds there are in the trees, we have the ability to overwhelm them if we were only to understand that. See, it's not a one against one. It's not me fighting one demon. I have the ability, if I understand this right, I have the ability, if I have somebody stand in agreement with me, I have 1,000-to-1 ratio on them. If I get somebody else with me, I got 10,000-to-1 ratio on the ability to storm the gates of hell. Am I interpreting that right, Russ? You're muted.
It messed up his mic, it looks like.
You messed it up? Hang on, Russ. We're not hearing you. Dag, gone.
I wonder how close his mic is to his mouth. That's what it sounds
like. Well,
it's not
that. It's not that because we're not hearing him at all. So it's something on his end, isn't it, Jared?
His mic got reset on his hangout. So on the little gear on top.
Got to go to that little gear again, Russ, at the top. And reset your mic like before. So while Russ is working to get back in here, we don't hear you yet, Russ. It's on your end. So keep trying to figure that out. Do you understand the point that I just made? Because we tend to think it's a 1-to-1 ratio, that it's me against a demon, when in fact it's not. There are more than we understand. There are more birds sitting in those trees. There are more blackbirds up there. But our power of agreement, especially in the church, can you imagine if a church were to come together? Or as I said yesterday, the Benham brothers shut off the halftime show and got people all across America to begin to pray. The magnification of that prayer was unbelievably powerful, if it was effectual, if it was being prayed in the right ways. Still not hearing you, Russ. It's when you reset that thing for some reason, something on your computer, on your microphone, went off on us. There, unmuted, Dad. Where do you think it is, Jared?
I would say it's got to be in the Hangout settings on the top.
It's on your Hangout settings at the top there, Russ. You may have to go up there and click on that little gear. And go to the right microphone. That's what I think's happened to you. So
Dave,
I reset. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to go back to my question. I got kind of the answer. Right now, most churches, you go in, you sing, and then you sit for a sermon.
No prayer.
Very little prayer. I mean, that's what American church is now. And I don't find that biblically, nor do I see that being presented. That's what Sunday should even look like.
Well, so it's what somebody said earlier. It becomes a performance. Tim said that maybe. It becomes the performance. The megachurch becomes the performance. And the focus on the whole church is, oh, they have such great praise and worship. We just have such great praise when I leave there and I feel so good. Well, you might leave there and feel so good, but you haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah.
We haven't done any real spiritual warfare. Russ, we love you, man. I wish we could figure out why you can't get back in here. Because I think I hit you a pretty good softball that you were going to slam out of the park and didn't get a chance to. Somebody jump in here?
Yeah, you know, I hear what he's saying about going to church and just sitting there. Because we have kind of got the Superman mentality that we're looking for the preacher or the pastor to come up and hit a home run, so to speak. Like, I'm looking for Coach Dave to be the leader here. Instead of the pastors training the people to do works of ministry, we are saying, I'm going to come and watch the show. So a pastor really is not a pastor teacher anymore. They are what the mask, you know what I'm saying? The hypocrite.
Pastor performer. He's pastor performer.
Yeah, we put the mask on. The hypocrite. We want to see them do a performance. They are no longer training the church to do works.
There you are, Russ. We got you. Go, Russ.
There we go. I have no idea why that, other than just rebuke the enemy.
Yeah, don't waste it, man. Explain. So one can send 1,000, 2, 10,000, the multiplication of it.
No question about it. Take again the example. Anybody can take a look today. Acts chapter 8, look at Philip. Look what he did. Look what one individual that was in obedience, it was under the lordship of Christ, it was living in power. That's the norm. Acts chapter 8 with Philip, that's the norm.
That's pastors, what it should be.
Mm. Yes, if pastors are doing that, then they're going to multiply that. They're going to teach people to do that. You know, 1,000-member church is going to start taking, 200 people out every week to do that. That has to happen. That's how it works. We cannot live in this suppression and just, and act like God's going to just, do it all. We are called to receive. We're called to live in obedience. We're called to step out. So that's part of what we're supposed to be doing. If the church has gone dead, it's never because Jesus is doing something wrong. It's because we are.
See, Russ, I like to use this illustration. If we can imagine, if we could look into the heavenly realm around us, we would see, let's say, little power cords that are connected to us from demonic influences that are around us. Even though we don't know it, they're plugged into us. They're giving us energy or sucking energy out of us. We don't see it. And so when we enter into warfare, we are cutting those wires. That's what we're doing. They're breaking control of those wires. And if we don't understand that, we can pray meaningless prayers all we want to, and those wires are still going to be connected.
Sure. I mean, Jesus said, I give you authority to trample the dark side, to tread on the dark side. So years and years ago, I said, Lord, how far can we take this? And as a pastor, when I led the church, we had 30 minutes of prayer in the context of 30 or so minutes of worship, in the context of invitation, in the context of 45 minutes of teaching. And we saw so many activities of God because we opened up to God being operative through those different means.
Amen, boy.
Again, it had nothing to do with the building. If all we are there to do, if all a pastor's going to do is create spectators, that's all they're going to be. Weak, they're not going to have knowledge, they're not going to be able to do things, they're not going to be spiritually lit. Because the truth is, a Christian can be backslidden, a Christian can be carnal, a Christian can be weak, or a Christian can be powerful. Acts 9:22, Saul of Tarsus gets saved, he gets filled with the Spirit of God, he begins to do it, and then verse 22 says, he grew more and more powerful, more and more powerful.
So Russ, all of that power is available to us already. It's just a matter of how much we want to plug into it. It's not that God's going to change. All power has been given unto him. He's already told us that, right? All power. And that power is available for us to tap into. But, Russ, we don't even understand it.
It's the will of God. That's the good news. It's the will of God. If we grieve the Spirit through the fleshly stuff, or if we quench the Spirit because we're not yielded to the giftings, to healing, to witnessing, and so forth, well, I mean, that's on us. That's us. Grieving the Spirit of God, quenching the Spirit of God, and we're the ones allowing him to be held back from being operative through us as it should be.
Amen. Well, folks, we're at the top of the hour. I want to make you aware of two things here. We're going to, Russ, don't hang up when we finish here. I want to talk to you about something. Folks, listen. This may get delayed because we played Lady Gaga, so that YouTube may say it's copyright infringement, and we'll get that cleaned up if that happens. So bear with us a little bit on that. The technical issues, we apologize for all that, but this has been really, really powerful. And Russ, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bone up, buddy. Next Tuesday, we want you to come back next Tuesday. And Russ, let's dig into Pizzagate, because from what I understand, it seems to be evidence that maybe this thing is going to begin to break open. And you know what it is, Russ? There's still a lot of us that don't believe it's true. And whether we don't believe Pizzagate is true, certainly the satanic ritual abuse and what they're doing to little children, that is true. And I'd like to next week for us to be able to talk about that and the power that's in there and why they do that and why they're after the little kids and the blood and all that connection so that we can have a greater understanding of what's on. Russ, it's good to see you healthy again, buddy. We're going to join you in prayer for those legs that they'll get stronger. And folks, don't miss next Tuesday. It's going to be a powerful program. So God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.
Blessings.